running from the demons in your mind. Then I took yours and made them mine. I didn't notice cause my love was blind. Said I'd catch you if you fall, and if they laugh at more. And then I got you off your knees, put you right back on your feet, just so you can take advantage of me.
All right, welcome back. Now I'm going to continue my discussion on CBD. I'm interested about this now that it's legal. And I think there are some business owners in Windsor that are a little disappointed that the sale of CBD is being monopolized by the government. And you know, I agree. I think I believe in an open market. I believe everybody should be able to compete with all goods on the market. And it shouldn't be just exclusive to, you know, one corporation or crown corporation. I think that everyone deserves the right to compete and, you know, trade and sale as they please. And maybe that will happen with CBD. Who knows? Now, Gideon Bentata is a cannabis educator, writer, and content creator, assisting in developing several businesses across Canada and abroad. He's originally from Gibraltar. Now, Gibraltar, it's a British territory. I want to say Liberia, in the southern tip of Liberia. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I stand corrected if I'm not, but I think that's where it is. If you tell me I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. Actually, Librarian. Actually, that's where it is. Sorry. So yes, that's where it is, and that's in that's and is bordered to the north by Spain. Okay. So anyway, he came here to study graphic design. He came to Toronto in 2001, has been living in the city since. And obviously we know cannabis has been legalized and so is CBD. So I wanted to have him on to talk about it because we were talking about chronic pain before. And I think that this is supposed to be a wonder drug and work like magic. So I want to get to the bottom of the pros and cons of CBD, why people use it, and really what the difference is between CBD and hemp and cannabis, because I think that's where people are confused. And good morning, Gideon. Are you there?
I am. How are you doing, April? Thank you for having me.
I'm well, thank you. So Gibraltar, that's in Liberia?
South of Spain, opposite Morocco.
Oh, sorry. Okay, sorry. I have the wrong area. So
I think it is the Iberian.
Oh, okay, that's what I'm thinking. Well, I don't know why I was thinking Liberia. Liberia, but that was
Nobody knows where I'm from, really. It's like Gibraltar is kind of like a fantasy island. A lot of people haven't even heard about it.
Yeah. So I'm like, I thought that's where it was, but I guess I was wrong. Okay. So you came to Toronto in 2001.
Yes.
Okay, so what exactly does a cannabis educator do, and how did you become one?
I guess I became one just essentially by default and just through sheer enthusiasm and advocacy for the plant. I've always had an interest in cannabis and hemp, and when I came to the country after my graphic design course, I had the opportunity to work for one of the oldest cannabis compassion centers in Canada, which is based in Toronto, and I started serving thousands of patients who were looking to find solutions for their health problems with medical cannabis. So through that, I got to learn even more about the plant, about its uses, about how patients were using it and what they were looking for in terms of health benefits and how it could replace some of their pharmaceutical medications or some of their opiates. So I really learned a lot from that. And then after my placement there, I was already very in the community in Toronto, in the cannabis community, the emerging medicinal cannabis market. And this was before recreational had been legalized. So with that knowledge, I was able to educate a lot of other people. And because of my marketing and graphic design background, I started providing some of these services to emerging businesses in the cannabis market. And through that, I've been able to educate even more people when it comes to cannabis and hemp. So it kind of just a natural process, I think.
So you know, as far as cannabis goes, we'll start by that with that before I get to CBD. So I know that you have to purchase cannabis through the government website, but what if people can't find the right cannabis for them, or they're not happy with that kind of cannabis? Like, don't you feel like it shouldn't be monopolized?
This is a very big topic of debate. And, you know, it's kind of like trying to fight against Walmart. We all support mom and pop stores, but Walmart eventually is trumping. So I don't believe in the monopolization. And I do understand that regulations are important, and making sure that people are safe, it's very important. But in the way that this legalization system has been implemented, it's shut out a lot of the people who actually built this industry, a lot of the people that sacrificed their lives and their legal abilities to bring these products to market. And it shut them all out. And not only that, because they're trying to monopolize, or the government's monopolized the system, they're not able to distribute the amount of cannabis that's actually in demand. So they're strangleholding it, they're bottlenecking it, so people aren't even able to get some of the products that they need. So I don't believe in this monopolization. I believe that it would have been much simpler to just instill a more lax regulatory system, because previous to this, there were hundreds of...
Like an open market,
Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be fully open. I do understand regulations are very important. Mm-hmm. But prior to this, there were hundreds of stores open in Toronto. There were no real risks. All the stores were making sure people were of adult age when they were coming in. And the main issue that I find with legalization is that the main distribution system is online, so you can't judge what you're buying before it comes to your house until you've already had it, and then you realize, you know what, this didn't serve me.
I've heard that from a few people. I don't smoke it myself, but I have heard from people they're extremely disappointed with the product.
Let's say you don't even smoke and you wanted to try an ingestible oil. Those are even more expensive, and you spend $80, $100 on a bottle to realize, you know what, this is just getting me high, and that's not what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to give you any advice either. So even if you go to a retail store, you're limited to little packages that you can sniff through and look at the bud through a little glass or plastic package. And the people that can only educate you so much, because they have to be very careful not to recommend anything or not to make any statements. So you're very limited in the education you can get. So I can understand that for somebody who isn't experienced in this field, they start researching online, and it's an abundance of information that gets so confusing. So I understand that there's a big challenge out there, and there's a big disconnect between what the government is trying to provide and what the people actually need and want.
Right. And do you think that the government has recognized that by closing the market completely and people's options, that it's creating an opportunity for it to be sold on a large scale in the black market?
Well, they're definitely not eliminating the black market until they can fulfill all the same demands that the black market is fulfilling. But the only logical approach that I see is that this whole legalization has worked perfectly when it comes to monetization. It doesn't work logically, because people out there are suffering.
Right.
And for example, something like topicals, a cream, there is no real risk. Even if it's made with the most potent cannabis strain, when you put it topically, it's non-psychoactive. So you can use it for children.
So you don't get high?
No. You can use it for children. You can use it for the elderly. And the most that's going to happen is maybe somebody has an allergic reaction to one of the ingredients in the cream. They might get a bit of a rash. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that the benefits supersede any of the risks when it comes to topicals. Yet, despite all the protests, despite the many years of people saying that they needed products like this, it was only legalized recently, and it still isn't really available in the marketplace. So it just shows where the priorities lie when it came to legalization. It wasn't about serving the patient or serving medicinal needs or even serving the demands that the people wanted. It was, okay, what's our priority? What's the main thing that people are asking for? Weed. Okay, they want to smoke. Great, let's get that in the bag. Then after that, we can figure out everything else, because that's not really where the profits lie. That's my perspective on it. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like the way that it's been implemented is criminal, in my opinion. I think it's more criminal than what anybody else was doing before.
Yeah, I agree. Because it's more about having control.
Absolutely.
And you know what? Control is abusive. And that's what you're saying. It's like they're abusing their power by taking control that way and not giving other options and not thinking more holistically about it.
Well, it was.
Is that what you mean?
Yes, and it was approached with a lack of understanding, because these laws and regulations were made by people who are not necessarily cannabis users. Some of them are politicians, some of them are lawmakers, some of them are police officers. And the only thing that they had to compare cannabis to was cigarettes or alcohol, especially not only just as a substance, but, okay, how can we implement a distribution and production system? Well, the only thing that we can compare to that we have currently is the liquor board and the tobacco board. So that's what they used to compare it with. So they started using these kind of frameworks and these kind of mentalities to approach cannabis in the same way.
But it's not the same.
Exactly. And that's the biggest downfall.
Criticism.
Yeah. It's not, you can't treat it in the same way. It's not dangerous like tobacco. It's actually a health benefit, and it's not as dangerous as alcohol. So to bottleneck the distribution and the production in this way, it makes no real sense for the end user.
You know, I agree. And I feel like I think that the regulations and the laws will change about it.
Yeah, they're working out the kinks. And they're working out the kinks at their own pace, because they still want to make sure that they have control over all this.
Mm-hmm.
So it is going to take a long time before the products that people actually need are out there, because it's taking them a long time to actually listen and even accept any of the conversations from the cannabis community. Mm-hmm. Because so far it's been, okay, we'll listen to corporations and we'll listen to big business who know how to make money. We're not necessarily going to listen to the weed head, because that's the stigma is still there, the pot head. So I think a lot has to be changed. But at the end of the day, where we are now is much better than where we were. I just don't appreciate the way it's been unrolled, like the whole place has been rolled out. But it's definitely a step in the right direction. We just have to be a bit more patient, I guess. But
and especially,
education is key.
Yeah, and especially when you think about the CBD lotion or oil, where it has absolutely no psychoactive effects. I mean, it just doesn't seem right that you can't just go to the store and buy it.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't seem right to me at all.
Yeah, I personally know companies that have had to sacrifice their product line in order to
like
try
Shoppers
to
or wherever Shoppers Drug Mart or just a store that sells maybe, you know, marijuana paraphernalia has lotions. There was, you know, I think I heard there was a store in Windsor that had sold it, but they had to completely stop selling it after it was monopolized by the government. So yeah. They were making money and now they're not.
Especially something like whether it's topical or CBD itself, whether you have it in, as an ingestible or topically, CBD is non-psychoactive. So while Europe legalized CBD long ago and it's being sold in any store and people, yes, there has to be some guarantees of effectiveness and lab testing. And absolutely people have to do their due diligence as to what company is making a better product. But in terms of the risks and the fear-mongering that the government used to say, no, we have to control it all because it's dangerous, that was all fake. So CBD has no psychoactive effects. Topicals have no psychoactive effects, even when made with cannabis. So it should have been legalized a long time ago, or at least decriminalized, until they could figure out when they had their own products.
So what's the difference between CBD and hemp and cannabis?
So this is a common question that I get asked. Now, CBD itself is just one compound amongst over 100 of cannabinoids that are present in both hemp and cannabis. It's just that CBD is predominantly the one related or associated with all the health benefits that people talk about in the plant. So when you extract that compound, and it's just that one isolated compound from the plant, it doesn't really matter whether it came from hemp or cannabis. Now it's just that one single compound. So the CBD itself isn't going to be different. What the difference is that hemp predominantly has CBD in it. So CBD is one of the compounds that's most present in that plant, whereas cannabis, THC, tends to be the compound that's most present in that.
Okay.
Now, the difference is that cannabis strains can be grown to have much higher levels of CBD than what hemp naturally has. So you can get certain strains of cannabis that are mostly CBD, and it would be much more CBD than what you'd be able to get from hemp. Things like, I'm sure maybe you've heard of something called Charlotte's Web. Mm-hmm. It was a plant, a strain made famous by growers who were able to
I remember
help.
The book. There was a book, Charlotte's Web.
Oh, right, the book, yes, yes. Well, there's these growers that grew a specific strain of cannabis that was extremely rich in CBD,
okay.
specifically to help a sick child, because they wanted to make sure the child wasn't getting high and was getting all the medicine. So CBD can be cultivated in cannabis as well as hemp.
Okay.
Now, what I tell people is the main difference is what you want to do is look for, if you're looking for CBD, look for something full spectrum. Whether the CBD originates from hemp or cannabis, if it's in a full spectrum form, it means that it's not only going to just have that one isolated compound from the plant, but it's going to carry some of those other natural cannabinoids that are also present in that spectrum of compounds of cannabinoids in the plant. So you're going to have a much wider range of health benefits. And as you probably have heard, the compounds in cannabis, they tend to work better synergistically together. The entourage effect, as some people have called it, where THC and CBD tend to work better together rather than when isolated. So when I talk to people about getting any products with CBD, it's usually I recommend to get something that says full spectrum, because it will be a bit more of a natural state that it's in, and it'll have all these other compounds to help it work.
Okay.
Kind of like vitamins in comparison to having fruit in your diet.
Okay, so how much THC is needed in a topical? And by the way, I got a text in and it said someone went from 60 milligrams to 20 milligrams of morphine since they started using CBD oil.
Wow, that's incredible.
So I'm guessing ingesting.
I
mean,
possibly, yeah.
Maybe yeah, topical. Who knows? I mean, who knows what the pain is?
I doubt topical, but either ingesting as in like an oil or maybe vaping.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure. But yes, CBD has been considered a miracle drug just because of the whole hype around it. And people get a misunderstanding that it's going to cure them of all their ailments. Unfortunately, it's not the case. It is a very powerful compound, and it's very healing, but it's not going to fix everything.
Okay.
So
what are some of the limitations then? Or the drawbacks and limitations?
As your previous guest said, there are certain conditions that CBD isn't going to help. You can't just put a cream on a bone spur and expect it to go away. So people have to understand that there are limitations as to what you can fix. But when it comes to the pharmaceutical industry, doctors, it's kind of like a hammer only knows how to hammer a nail. And doctors are not necessarily educated too much in nutrition or in cannabis. So their only go-to is, okay, this is the ailment, the symptom that you have. Well, what we know of is this pharmaceutical that's going to help. And then depending on the reaction of the patient, that'll tell the doctor whether the medicine is working or not. So what happens is we have a lot of people out there that are taking medications that might not necessarily be helping them, but it's what the doctor thought was best, when the reality is that if they were just trying something else, they'd be able to help their problem without even needing the medication in the first place. It's not that they necessarily needed the medication at all. It's just that that was the solution the doctor knew at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I've worked with a lot of patients and I've helped make topicals for years, and I know people have been taking fibro and MS pharmaceuticals for over 20 years, and I'll give them a topical and it'll work better than any of these pharmaceuticals within 10 minutes.
Wow, that's scary.
And they'll write me a note and they'll call me and they'll send me a message and they're like, this is amazing. Thank you so much. And it's changed their life from a cream that somebody could have made at home. So that's...
Well, it's scary in that they were taking essentially pills, right, for 20 years.
Yeah. If only somebody would have told them about this cream or about other natural options out there. Because it's not just about cannabis and hemp. There's nutrition. There's so many other, natural solutions out there that people are not aware of. Hemp and cannabis just happens to be one of them.
Okay, I have a question. Could you ask your guest if CBD could help help a severe chronic cough in what form? And I have to remind the audience, Gideon is not a doctor. He's an educator. So he can only give his opinion about CBD. These are his opinions. He's not a clinician. He's not a person with a medical degree in this, but he's an educator and an expert.
Right.
So, well, a chronic cough, I don't know, a severe chronic cough, in what form, ? And we have 2 minutes here, Gideon, so we have to hurry.
Okay, I'll try to be quick.
Okay.
So the good thing about CBD, especially, or cannabis when it comes in a topical, is that you can try it out and see if it's going to work, and you'll see the results yourself without necessarily any dangers or risks, unlike other pharmaceuticals that will have a lot of side effects.
Should people consult their doctors too before? I would imagine doctors, before they take CBD.
I would say no. I would say consult maybe with a naturopath or holistic nutritionist, somebody, because there's more chance that they'll have a bit more education. Mm-hmm. Whereas now it might be a bit different. Doctors may have a bit more education on cannabis, but the stigma is still there, and they're still getting paid much more by pharmaceutical companies than by cannabis companies.
Okay.
But the good thing about it is that CBD or topicals in general from cannabis or from hemp can be tried with very few risks. And depending on your genetic makeup and who you are, because we all have an endocannabinoid system, but it does react differently depending on the person to different compounds. So try it out, see if it helps. When it comes to chronic cough, CBD will help with inflammation, with pain, with sleep. So a chronic cough is going to have some of those symptoms. It's going to prevent you from sleeping. You are going to have inflammation. So CBD will definitely help. Again, I would suggest something with full spectrum. And anything that's chronic, it's got to be a high dose. 10 milligram, 50 milligram is not enough. Minimum 100 milligram in a dose if it's going to be a real chronic issue. And again, there's no fear of psychoactive effects or getting too high or any severe reaction from happening. So, play it by ear, start off with a dose, see if it helps within a week. And if it doesn't, you can always up the dose a bit more. When it comes to chronic cough, I would say ingestible. Don't smoke, don't vape, no topical. Well, you could try a topical on the neck, see if that helps.
Okay.
But I would suggest eating the oil.
Gideon, and I'm sorry, I've got to go.
Yes,
I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but I have to go to a news break.
Yeah,
you have been a wealth of information, and I thank you so much for coming on. I mean, if you just want to quickly give your website, if people want to look you up or have any questions and contact you, they certainly can. I didn't see your website and your email. What is it?
It's highlifemedia.ca.
Highlifemedia.ca. Okay.
I hope I didn't give too much overwhelming information. There is a lot out there. But if anybody has any questions, they can always just shoot me a message on that website, and I'd be happy to answer them.
And also, we will podcast this on our website if you would like to listen in again to what Gideon was saying. Gideon, thank you so much, and have a great morning.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.